today on Real Radio.
Those who are elected are going to determine your future and your children's future. Now, look, I'm an old guy, but doggone it, now I have grandkids, so now I care again. I was just about ready to, like, go to Palm Springs and buy a big fat Cadillac and golf clubs and wear white shoes and do nothing for the rest of my days. And then Lisa and I got grandkids.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack guides us through a lesson called Understanding Where We Belong, an election sermon on the call to be salt and light in a world condemned. After a person is rescued from their sins and becomes a follower of Christ, what then? How does the believer put their faith into practice? How do we influence the world around us? Pastor Jack guides us through understanding where we belong by calling us to witness and by following biblical truths so powerful that even just one follower of Christ can change the course of history. Today, Pastor Jack encourages us to put our trust in the Lord and to stand with Israel, but warns us not to copy the behavior and customs of this world. God expects us to know His will and to align ourselves with it, for God created human government. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Third, what does the Bible say about a candidate who votes to abolish 5,000 years of God-ordained institution of natural marriage? Says a marriage is whatever you want it to be. Who says? God's the one that invented marriage. Who are you to say that you're going to change it? You can't do that. You don't have that authority. I can't vote for somebody who says that. I cannot look at God and say, God, I agree with candidate so-and-so. You have not known what you've been doing for 5,000 years. That's what you're doing. God, you had it all wrong. Isn't that what the Supreme Court decided? God, you had it all wrong. And what about the Bible when it says regarding a candidate who uses Israel as a political financial pawn to gin up support at the expense of Israel? God says, you mess with my people, you're messing with me. I want to make this loud and clear, very clear. No nation in history has amounted to much that's mistreated Israel. God will see to it. He said so in His word. There are candidates who are prostituting Israel for their political gain that week or this week. Look at their records and see what their voting has been and their conduct has been regarding Israel, the unborn, natural marriage. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you, that is Israel, Abraham's descendants, and I will curse those who curse you. That's a strong statement, is it not? Number five, is God political? Someone's going to ask me that in the foyer after service, so I anticipated, and I put it down as point number five. Is God political? This question is about as smart as, can God make a rock so big that He cannot pick it up? The answer is, God's not stupid. Only an idiot would think of God making a rock so big that He can't pick it up. What kind of thinking is that? That's called illogic. Is God political? Well, let me tell you, the Bible says the heavens and the earth are God's. See, this question comes from the concept, you Christians do your Christian thing on Sunday, and oh, by the way, when there's a terrorist attack or a catastrophe or an earthquake, then you bring out your Christian love and money, and you help us, and you pray. But then when we're done with you, you go back to where you come from, and don't come out of your church and say anything until we call you out. And you can do anything you want on a Sunday inside the walls of your church, but you just be quiet when you go out into the culture. You be quiet. A culture will dictate that. A culture, that same culture will say, you can't get involved in politics. Isn't that amazing? Church family, listen up carefully. And this really gets me going. Going so much that I'm in a lawsuit right now with the state of California and Sacramento over this. It is very convenient for the enemies of the cross to say there's a separation of church and state. But they never like that card played accurately. Read the First Amendment if you know it. Go find it. Read it. The First Amendment says what it says. The government wants to rise up against what the church believes when the government, or it's to not their liking, or when it convicts them. They want to change that. They don't like it. So here's what they do. For example, the issue of abortion is a biblical issue. But the secular world has made it a political issue. They rush in and they stick a flag down and they say, this issue is now a political issue. Church, stay out of it. You have nothing to say. Be quiet. They'll do this in every area. And we so politely, quietly just wither away in the background without rising up and saying anything. All that evil needs to do to triumph is for good men to do nothing. But they'll take a biblical issue and they'll declare it secular, and the church has got to get out of the argument. I refuse. This issue of abortion, as I've mentioned earlier, state of California is literally violating the federal law in requiring religious churches in California to fund abortions. This church right now is in a lawsuit because I refuse, I will not, we will not, we have not been paying for that. We refuse to do it. Ever since January, we're not paying. I was asked by the media, how far will you go in this position? Now watch this. Where's the separation of church and state? When the threat comes, if you do not pay for abortions, you could go to jail. I've got a decision to make. To look and cower at what the local, present, modern-day godless government is deciding, or in the end, I'm going to stand before the Almighty God, and he's going to ask me, did you stand and speak for the defenseless? Did you stand and defend those who could not defend themselves? And watch out, people, for this junk when somebody says, well, you know, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. It's the law now. There are bad laws, you know, made by bad people. Regarding the nation, regarding politics in Israel and what God says, whatever became of ancient Egypt, anybody? It's gone. Where's Israel today? Back in their land. What about the Philistines? When's the last time you met a Philistine? Gone. Assyrian Empire? Gone. Babylonian Empire? Gone. Persian Empire? Greek Empire? Roman Empire? Byzantine Empire? The Crusaders? Spanish? Nazi, Soviet, and then Iran is on the list next, apparently. All those cultures are gone, and Iran is about to be gone, according to Ezekiel. Where's Israel? Israel right now is having dinner. They're having a wonderful time because God's on his throne. That's why. Be careful. Be careful you don't vote against Israel. Is God political? Psalm chapter 75, verse 7. Psalm 75, 7 says, it is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall. Daniel 2, 20. Daniel, by the way, a political leader. You ever think about that? Answered and said, blessed is the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. God's political. God's political. I don't need to bore you with a list. For example, in the book of Judges, kings, people like Joseph, Samuel, Solomon, political. What about our founding fathers who saw no problem in worshiping God and politics and government? In fact, it is easily argued that the creation of the government by our founding fathers was based upon their thinking of God. See, that's a big statement. Well, did you know that one of the citations, Sir William Blackstone, the eminent English jurist, said, and I quote, man must necessarily be subject to the laws of his creator. This will of his maker is called the natural or law of nature. This law of nature is, of course, superior to any other. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And such of them as are valid derive all their force from this original. What a statement. They thought it was important, our founding fathers did, enough to have religion intermixed with the establishment of this government. Many of you have been to Philadelphia to see the Liberty Bell. Did you know that on the Liberty Bell, Leviticus 25:10 is inscribed on it? Have you ever been there? You ought to go there. You should go to Philadelphia and look at the Liberty Bell. If I was the dictator of American education, I'd make sure that every kid had a field trip to see the Liberty Bell. And I would point out to them, hey, look what's on the Liberty Bell by our political leaders, Leviticus 25:10. What does that say? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Is God political? Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, God says. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, the nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Imagine that. They'll all answer to God someday. Are you guys okay? Yes. Number six, someone will determine your future. Those who are elected are going to determine your future and your children's future. Now, look, I'm an old guy, but doggone it, now I have grandkids, so now I care again. I was just about ready to, like, go to Palm Springs and buy a big fat Cadillac and golf clubs and wear white shoes and do nothing for the rest of my days. And then Lisa and I got grandkids. So what happened? You roll up your sleeves, you get back in the fight. Why? Because of their future. It's their future I'm fighting for. Will they be free? Well, it all depends on how I vote. God is asking you to make the right decision. It's been well said that a nation has the government that it deserves. Boy, are we feeling that today. Someone's going to determine our future. And I want to encourage all of you, these things never change. Look for somebody with integrity who's running for office. In fact, how about this? Find somebody who has integrity and convince them to run for office. That's where we need to go. Someone's going to determine our future. Who's it going to be? The Bible says in Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How smart is America today and what's happening? All you have to do is take a microphone out onto the streets and ask people. We are being destroyed by our self-willed ignorance and our self-selected apathy. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. How many of you want rest for your souls? Then vote wisely. Go back to the ancient paths. Find someone who supports or comes close to the ancient paths. I'm going to vote because she's a she or he's a he. What's wrong with you? That's insane. Vote for somebody as a Christian who draws near to the ancient paths. That's how we'll be judged by God. That verse, by the way, goes on to say, God says, walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they responded back to God, and they said, we will not walk in it. Is that what America is saying today? Destroyed by a lack of knowledge? Did you know that Alexis de Tocqueville, the French political thinker, historian, best known for his work, Democracy in America, he was sent by the French government as a historian and as a thinker, to find out what in the world, why is America prospering? It was unreasonable, unexplainable why America was doing so well after the revolution. I quote, you can buy this book, by the way, at Barnes & Noble. Upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. And the longer I stayed there, the more I perceived the great political consequences resulting from this new state of things. In France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom marching in opposite directions. But in America, I found that they were intimately united and that they reigned in common over the same country. Religion in America must be regarded as the foremost of the political institutions of that country. For it does not impart a taste for freedom, it facilitates the use of it. Indeed, it is the same point of view that the inhabitants of the United States themselves look upon religious beliefs, said de Tocqueville. By the way, in his book, Dr. David Jeremiah, I Never Thought I'd See the Day, I agree with Jeremiah. He says, these unprecedented times require that Christians exercise unprecedented discernment. De Tocqueville went on to say, in the United States, the sovereign authority is religion, and there's no country in the world where the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. And there can be no greater proof of its utility and its conformity to human nature than that its influence is powerful, it's felt over the most enlightened and free nation on earth. In the United States, the influence of religion is not confined to the manners, but it extends to the intelligence of the people. That means they were taught Bible. Christianity, therefore, reigns without obstacle by universal consent. I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields, in her boundless forests, in her rich mines, in her vast world of commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. It was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great, de Tocqueville wrote. That is awesome. Do your students know this? Have they heard this? You cannot separate God from America. You cannot separate the world from God. We are his subjects, and we either answer to him or we don't. Number 7, what if Jesus isn't on the ballot? I am not even going to spend time on this. He's not running for office. He's the king. He's the judge. Too many Christians say, well, I can't vote for this person because this, that, or the other thing. Wow. I cannot relate to that kind of thinking. I am to take the candidates that are running that will control my life and select the one that comes closest to a biblical worldview. Number 8, why should I pray about my vote? Listen, I believe in this. Pray, vote, and then pray. California is a perfect example of what happens when Christians either do not get involved or do not know how to get involved. I'm committed to fighting that ignorance in this church. I think you know that. We should pray. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not going to vote, I'm just going to pray. Then don't pray. That's worthless. Why ask God for direction if you don't plan on going anywhere? You can buy a boat and leave it tied up in the harbor all the rest of your life. You are not a sailor. You pray, you do something. I'm not sure if we know how to handle freedom. A nation gets the kind of leaders it deserves. Proverbs 31 Verse 3 says, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. You know what I found out? I found out, did you know we're the number one place in America where alcohol is consumed? It is also the largest population per capita of alcoholics in the nation. Exactly. Washington, D.C. Did you know there's more DUIs issued in Washington, D.C. than any other place in America? Did you know that Washington, D.C. has more drunks than anywhere else? Might I remind you that's where our decisions are being made? Remember, Psalm 11:4 says, the Lord, he's in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and his eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. He's watching. God is watching. Those leaders that we send by voting will make decisions. And Isaiah 10, verse 1 says, what sorrow awaits the unjust judges and those who use unfair or issue unfair laws? I want to show you something that was in the news recently. Go ahead, guys, put it up. In our own state, California Senate offers 24-hour rides for lawmakers too drunk to drive. You're paying for it. 100% paid for by you, the taxpayer, to get our drunk leaders home from their bars in Sacramento. It's time to vote. It's time to vote these people out of office and look for people with integrity who fear God, who care. Remarkable. Number 9, who should the Christian vote for? Again, I said the person who most aligns themselves with biblical worldview in their voting. Psalm 11:3, we just read it a moment ago. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Very important. Who should the Christian vote for? The one who aligns closest with the Bible. Well, you know what? I'm going to pick the person that's most electable. Did you listen to that for a moment? Let's go back to Israel in the Valley of Elah. There is the tribes or the forces of the Philistines, and there's wimpy old little Israel over there in the corner over here. There's this little boy with his underwear on in a slingshot, and there's this massive 9-foot-6-inch tall killer named Goliath. Which one would you vote for, the most electable to win the fight? Goliath, hands down. I'd vote for Goliath, hands down. The only problem is, God was with David. Listen, I get to stand before God in the end, and I vote biblically, pray, leave the outcome to God. I've got to look at God in the face. I cannot elect anybody. I'm to be involved in the process. God raises up kings, and God brings kings down. God, remember, might I remind you, church, God can do the impossible. Have we forgotten? I'm looking for the person, him or her, who's closest to a biblical worldview. Look at their record or follow the money. You guys know this. You're probably sick of hearing about it, but here you go. Remember, it was invented here at this church. I can't take any credit for it. God gave this to me years ago. I call it the Trinity of Truth. This is how you vote for somebody. It's foolproof, by the way. I've tried to shoot holes in this from every direction, and it must be from God because it's flawless. How to vote? The Trinity of Truth, number 1. Vote for the candidate that agrees with God on Israel's right to exist in their homeland. Number 2, on the Trinity of Truth. Who defends the preborn child? If you look at the Republican and Democratic Party platform, if you have to choose, one of those platforms completely endorses the killing of babies. The other one does not. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm a monarchist. I believe in King Jesus. But I have to choose on what or which is closest to a biblical worldview. God gave me a brain and a Bible, and I'm to make a decision. Which leads us to this ending argument is number 10, is what about the results? After you have done all that God has given you the opportunity to do, you leave the results to God. Those who do not participate can never, never leave the results to God. Did you know that? Life, marriage, Israel, the Trinity of Truth. From those 3 issues, I can tell you exactly how a politician is going to vote in all other areas of the issues.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Understanding Where You Belong, an election sermon on the call to be salt and light in a world condemned. Thanks for listening today as we continue to pray for our nation and the government issues, and most importantly, to leave the results of those issues to God, who can bring us out of our own destruction. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Here's something that we'd love you to do. Go to YouTube and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. Search for that and then subscribe if you would. And every time Pastor Jack comes out with something new on YouTube, you'll get a notification and you can head on over and see what's going on. Pastor Jack's got some great stuff on YouTube. If you like listening to him on the radio, you're going to like his videos too. I promise you that. Don't forget to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. And one more time, let me give you our website where you can find out pretty much everything that we do around here. It's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Next time you sit down at the computer, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.